Before I share what's on the heart of me this morning, could you really sing that lyric that said, "Oh, what a Savior"? Is He your Savior this morning? And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that some of you may be here today with incredible courage to be here, maybe for the first time even. But as we sing these songs, you so desperately want to say, "Jesus is my Savior," but you just can't. And I don't want you to feel alone this morning, because I did that for 16 years. I would sing about the Lord, talk about how good He is, but had never surrendered my life to the Lordship of Jesus. And so I want to maybe just put on your radar for the first time in your entire life that it's possible to come here and be a part of the church family, but never really be able to say, "I have made Christ my Savior." And I want to give you a chance to do that this morning. And no matter what we say for the rest of the service, no matter what it is that the topic of conversation is, as we leave here today, before we get to the message, I want for us to bow one more time, and I want you to ask yourself, "Have I really made Jesus my Savior?" Would you bow with me? And if you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you ask yourself this morning, why would I not give my life to Christ today? What would keep me from saying, "Jesus, be my Savior"? And I just want to give you a space this morning and a moment's time this morning to do that. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm inviting you to do that right now, Lord. For those this morning who need to make You their personal Lord and Savior, I lift them up to You. I don't know who they are. I don't know where they're sitting, Lord, but You do, because Your Spirit is working in their life. And so I pray for them that You would do an incredible new work in their life, and You would give them life as they cry out to You to be their Savior, to forgive them from their sins. Those of us, Lord, who have done that already, I just pray that You would give us a hunger to see more people come to know You as personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that You bless this time and steady my hands and my heart and my voice as I share this message with the church family. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, if this is the moment that you made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, then I want to challenge you to let us know that by going to the Connection Center at the end of the service and sharing with them, "I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior this morning." If you're a guest this morning, we're glad that you're here. Church family, can we tell our guests that we're glad that they're here this morning? Thank you for being here. It's an honor. We always say, we know it takes a ton of courage to show up to a new place and park in a new spot and walk in a new door and sit in a new seat. So if you're here today for the first time, thank you so much. And at the end of the service, some of our worship team that was here leading us in worship will be in the hospitality room to greet you and to say thanks for being here today. And you can just go out a door and turn left, and there's this big spot. You won't miss it. It says a hospitality room. So please, if you're a first-time guest, go there. We have a gift for you. We have some information for you, and we would love to meet you. Well, so there are moments in church life where everything is going great and everybody's focused on the Lord, and then something just kind of comes in and sucks all the air out of the room. And I have to tell you that I'm about to be that guy. About 1999, God called me to the ministry, and His specific call in my life was to be a lead pastor. And I have been a lead pastor for my entire ministry, almost my entire ministry, besides coming here. When I came here, I'd been a lead pastor in a number of churches over the past 10 years before I came. And so it is with incredible emotion that I share with you that I will be stepping down here as the teaching pastor at Sagemont Church to pursue an opportunity to become the lead pastor at a church just outside of Boston. Now, you know that I hardly ever have notes, because I like to look at you right in your eyeballs. But two things. One, I think that I will erupt in weeping if I look you in your eyeballs right now. And two, I just want to be so clear on what I have to say to you about what God has been doing in my life and what God is continuing to do here in this service. So the Lord has placed a call on my life to be lead pastor, and Crystal and all of our kids and I believe, feel compelled, know that we're called because the Lord has made it clear where our ministry is to be. And so we've taken some time to explore that calling and get to know the leadership of the church that we will be serving at. And I don't want to say 30 minutes worth of stuff about where we're going. Really, what I want to do today is to ask you to pray for us. And I want to give you some ways that I really want to ask you to pray for us. First, I want to ask you to pray for the Lord to give us wonderful moments with family, also with friends, with all of you, with our friends, for the remainder of our time here in Houston. You know, this is what I know about myself. When I sense that something is coming to an end, I tend to just kind of like back out and get real quiet. And I guess what I'm saying, kind of in a fancy way, is I want you to pray against that, because I want to laugh with you and maybe even cry with you. But what I don't want to do is to insulate myself for 3 or 4 weeks and really disengage. So even in our departure, we'll still be here worshiping. We still want to have tremendous relationships with you and friendships with you. And so I'm just asking, as a selfish type of prayer, would you just pray that the Lord would do something in me and refuse to allow me to back up or disengage, but to continue to have wonderful moments with you. Also, second thing I want to ask you to pray for us is for us to have the discernment and wisdom to see God's plan in the logistics. I don't know if you heard what I said when I announced it, but we are planning to move to Boston. That's a long way, y'all. They don't use the word y'all. There's a lot of different things about Boston, and we just need God to continue to give us discernment and direction and practical helps. I didn't even know we needed a shovel. I didn't even know that we needed that. And so there's so many different logistical issues that have to be done. And I know this isn't a funny moment. I'm not trying to make light of it. But it is even so comical as for me to not having considered that I need a winter coat in Boston, right? Because in Houston, there's 2 days of winter. So anyway, for God to give us discernment and wisdom to see God's plan for all of the logistics, for the Lord to provide peace and joy in what I'm sure to be multiple seasons of being homesick for Houston and for you, our family that we have prayed with and worshiped with for so many years. And then I want to ask you to continue to pray for the work of the ministry here, but also to pray for our ministry as we go and serve a wonderful evangelical church, but in a place and in a context in our country that isn't necessarily known for being evangelical. There's a glorious Lighthouse Church that we're going to serve with. And would you just pray for us as we go and partner with them? One of the things that the Spirit has taught me over the past 4 weeks is the difference between sadness and grief and fear. And I can tell you that I think it's okay for me and my family to have sadness and grief over our departure, but what I've discovered is that I can grieve without fear because I know. I mean, we looked at it last week, didn't we? That even when things change, even when seasons change, even when we go from Joshua chapter 1, where Moses is no longer the leader and now Joshua is the leader, the mission went on. So I don't fear what God has in store for my family or your family, but I sure can tell you that there's some sadness and some grief associated with the call of God. You may be in fear right now as you hear this announcement, thinking to yourself, well, what about us? It's a natural question for you to say, well, what are we going to do now? We can't just come in here and sing and sit for 30 minutes with no preacher. Who's going to come up here from now on and deliver the message. Well, part of the reason that I'm not afraid of the future of this ministry is because of who it's been entrusted to. Our leadership has been meeting over the past 2 weeks and praying and talking and asking, who is the person who will pick up where Zach leaves off and make it an even better ministry? And the Lord decided to appoint Freeman Tomlin. And I can't be more happy. I can't be more happy. And I'm going to stop looking at you or I'll cry. Let me tell you why I'm excited about this. Because Freeman has a passion for the Word of God. And his passion exudes through him when he delivers the Word of God. Pastor John got sick. He's not feeling well. And so he called in Freeman to substitute for him last hour. Freeman preached last hour. Hit it out of the park. I'm sitting right up there where you guys are sitting in the first service and just thinking to myself, what an awesome thing for me to get to see this guy is going to be in the pulpit from now on. And so I'm so excited because of the way that you deliver your message. But also, can I just tell you this? Because there's more to ministry than getting up here and preaching. I'm also excited, not just for the passionate way that he delivers, but for the pastor's heart that he has for the people that he serves. That's a man that will cry with you when you need to cry. That's a man who will come right down here and get on his knees and pray with you when you're broken. And you just need to be ready, because that's a man who will get in your face and will tell you when you're walking away from the Lord. He doesn't just have a passion to preach. Freeman has a passion to see God's church healthy. And so I feel sad to leave, but excited about the ministry that you are going to experience through his ministry. Now, I'm not asking you to be glad that I'm leaving so that Freeman can take over. That'll hurt my feelings if you tell me that. Okay. But I sure will be happy to come back and visit and for you to share with me how awesome of a leader he is being for you. Another reason that I'm excited for this ministry and for Freeman taking over is that he loves to make practical application of God's word to our life. Have you ever sat under a message and you just think to yourself, that person is super smart, but I don't understand what he's saying? I have. That's happened to me. So Freeman is super smart, but one of the gifts that God has given him is to be able to take that 50,000 foot theological idea and bring it down here where people like us can understand it. And so I'm just excited for that. But let me just share one more reason that I'm excited. And then I'm going to share with you, just like I shared with you ways that you can pray for me, I'm going to share with you ways that you can pray for him. But here's another really important reason that I'm excited that the Lord has orchestrated all of this and kind of cleared the way for Freeman to come and take the platform at 11:15, because his character matches his message. And in a sea of preachers who fall, and you don't know if what they're preaching and what they're living is the same, I can promise you that his integrity and his character matches the message that he shares. And so I'm excited about that. So let me share with you four ways that you can pray for Freeman. One, no transition is easy. Now you may be thinking, well, he's just moving from one spot at Sagemont Church to another spot. Yeah, but Sagemont's big. And he's been working diligently in different areas. And so now he's making a transition, just like we're making a transition from Houston to the Boston area. He's making a transition from one area to another. And both the transitions can be difficult. So I'm asking you to pray for him as he transitions, even though it's inside of the same organization, Sagemont Church. Pray for him as he continually seeks to balance evangelism with teaching believers. It's one of the things that we work so hard to do. It's every single week If a person is here that doesn't know Christ, that we lay out for them so clearly what it means to follow Christ. But we also know that there are saved people here, and we want to give you a steady diet of the Word of God and what it means to move forward and what is your next step in the Christian faith, even if you've already received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So pray for that. Pray for him as he prepares messages to speak to both those of you who have not received Christ yet and those of you who have, and you're here to hear a word from God on sanctification and discipleship. Let me also ask you to pray for Freeman and for Jordan and Misty and Chris and all of the worship team. Would you pray for a high sense of unity as they start to work together to be seamless and to continue to lead the service in the way that God has for it? And then I'm going to ask you to pray for this man's personal disciplines as he begins to step up every week and teach the Word of God. Would you pray that he would continue to walk with God so that he can be as strong as he can be in order to lead the ministry in the direction that it needs to go? Well, I've asked you to pray twice for myself and for Freeman, and so we're going to stop and practice that. What I'm going to do in a moment is bring a chair over here. I'm going to put Freeman right in the middle, right down here at the altar. And then I'm going to ask you, if you would, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but if you would, come to the altar and just gather around Freeman and just begin to pray for the ministry, for him, for this ministry, for all of the things that he will be leading in the future. And so, Freeman, come on down. And after we've prayed, Freeman's going to come up here and share a little bit of his heart with you so you'll know a little bit of him when he begins his ministry. Sit here, brother.
You're getting too old for this.
You're getting too old. That's why I got a chair. Okay, let's see. I didn't want to have you kneel down at the altar. I don't know if you could get up.
I'll sit.
I love this man. Hey, would y'all come down here and just kind of gather around him? It might feel a little strange. It's going to be quiet for a few minutes, but come down and just pray over him as he gets ready to take over the ministry here. And then when we finish praying, he's going to come up and share some of his heart. Lord, we're so grateful that when you make a call and you also make provision. And we also thank you that we're a part of a church where people know that you've called them and that there is no shortage of people who are prepared to stand and deliver the Word of God. We thank you for calling and appointing an anointing, one that does it so well. And we lift up Freeman. We lift up Leslie as well, as she serves with him in many, many ways. Lord, we can't say that we would have ever picked out that this is how you would work, but we accept it in the midst of sadness and grief, but also confidence in you. We thank you for being at work among us, and we acknowledge that you are a sovereign, perfect God, and you don't make mistakes. And we pray right now for the hundreds of people who live around our church that haven't come yet. We pray that you would draw them, and that through ministry, through those who are here, and through worship, and through friendships, and through the preaching of the Word of God, that you would continue to set people on fire for Jesus, that you would continue to shape hearts and transform hearts for years and years to come. Thank you for my brother and my friend Freeman. I pray that you bless his ministry. I thank you, Lord, for what he means to me, and I can't wait to see and to hear what he will become to mean for all of my friends who are here. Pray for him. We pray for him. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Freeman is going to come share a little bit of his heart with us, and then I'm going to explain just some logistical items for about 5 minutes, logistically what this means, and then we will close our time together. But Freeman, if you would grab that mic right there, come up here, brother, and share, and when you're done, I'll come back up.
Oh, thank you so much. First of all, I want to say thank you for prayers for our family. Many of you know what we're grieving through with hope, but we're grieving deeply. We have much pain, much sorrow, wonderful memories, but our hearts are broken. So I'm just telling you, out of my life, we're brokenhearted. Our sweet son would want to be here and be up here, but God saw fit to do what only he can do. And so we know he's healed for eternity, but I just want you to know that I can't separate that pain from my teaching. I can't. I just told my iConnect class that I teach at 11:15 that I was leaving, coming in here. So I just want you to know that I want whatever God wants. And if this is what God wants, then that's what I want. I don't want what I want. I want what he wants. Now, I'm getting a little too old for this, Zach. And Zach and I are good friends. My wife is already in this service. She never came to my iConnect class, and we're fine. I promise you, we're fine. So God saw fit to bring us into the same service at his bidding. That's fine. So I just want to tell you that you know, with transition and change and loss and shifting of responsibilities, it may catch you by surprise and it may catch me by surprise, but it doesn't catch God by surprise. In fact, so much so in Ephesians, he says that God prepared a work for us before the foundation of the world. And when he prepared that work for us, now that I'm stepping into this new role and Zach's stepping into his new role, God knew that before we were ever born. Figure that one out. So here's what I can say to you. I'm going to trust him. I want you to trust him. It's Christ in me. It's Christ in you. So we have a partnership there. And I just want to serve the word of God and lift high Christ. It's not about Zach or it's not about me. It's not about Brother John. It's about Jesus Christ. So we're just going to continue on in the flow of this. I know there's many options people have with connection classes and services. Some of you may leave, that's fine. I'm not offended. I am secure in my baldness. I'm not worried about it. I'll get as much makeup is on that I can, which they will do, but Zach and I sweat the same. But I want to tell you that I love you, and I know Zach loves you, and this church and God loves you. So let's just move forward. If we are positive, then we'll find out as leaders that people will be positive. But if we turn negative and we start getting in these little rumor mills and stuff like that, that's what the devil loves, but that's not what God loves. God hates discord. People may love it. God doesn't love it. So let's go with the one who unifies us, which is Christ, right? Let's go with Christ. Let's be excited for Zach and his family and Crystal. And Crystal was in our ministry. I'm so old. She was in my student ministry. She's not old. I'm old. And she even took care of my sweet son and babysat him. I mean, we've got connections here at Sagemont that go way back. So I just want to say thank you. Let's move forward together on the mission. And the mission is to lift up Christ. music style, I can go eat. I'm good. I enjoyed just what I heard. And so I'm blessed because we're not worshiping music. We're worshiping Christ. The style may be different in the contemporary and the blended, but it's not about the style. It's about Christ, right? So, but we're blessed to have people like that leading us. That's wonderful. I'm so glad to be here. And my wife, I'll close with this. She said, now, Freeman, and she's in here somewhere. She said, one thing you need to do is you need to take Jonathan Morrison with you. Y'all know Jonathan. And he needs to get you a whole new wardrobe for this service. So that's what I'm going to do. So God bless you. But I'm also going to take the church credit card because Brother Chuck, he approves things and it'll be fine because I wouldn't have to be doing this had not Zach done what he had done. So we're good. All right, man. Sorry.
I don't know what to say after something like that, you know. It does my heart good, brother, to see you standing up here. Let me share with you a little bit about what to expect, some logistical matters, and then we'll close together. So the next 2 weeks, I won't be here on the platform, nor will Freeman. Our pastor will be here. Next Sunday is a family worship time where we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and we're going to have a family worship day. And so our pastor will be leading that service. The following Sunday, our pastor will be back because he will be unveiling the vision for our new student ministry building. And so he will be sharing the vision for us at that point. After that, the following Sunday, so 3 Sundays from now, Freeman will take over as preacher for the service, and we will continue to pray for him. And so I just wanted you to know that's what to expect. Next Sunday, Pastor John will be leading. The following Sunday, Pastor John will be leading, and then Freeman will be in here after that moving forward. So I want to recap ways that you can pray for my family, ways that you can pray for Freeman and his family. You can pray for us just in the general area of transition, but also that the Lord would just give us a sweet and rich time with you as we prepare to go. And then for Freeman, for shifting responsibilities, you heard him share that very recently his son passed away, and so his raw pain comes through his teaching. He shared that with you. And so we want to pray for he and Leslie as they continue to process that grief as well. Let me close with a challenge. I want to challenge you to stay hungry for the Lord, and I want to challenge you to stay pliable to the Scripture. You know, that's how God shapes our life, is by yielding our life to the authority of Scripture. And I think that you gathered from hearing Freeman speak that he doesn't get up here and give talks. He didn't get up here and give his opinion to you. He teaches the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to continue to come and to continue to bring your friends, and let's run fast after God and continue to be pliable to the Scripture and continue to be eager to make a gospel difference in the world around you. Freeman and I have the same understanding that what we do here is for 1 hour, 1 hour and 15 minutes a week to prepare you to go out into this world and to turn it upside down for Christ. That's our heart. That's our prayer, is that we equip you to go out into this broken and confused world and to shine your light for Jesus Christ so brightly that people can't ignore the gospel. Let me ask you to stand to your feet if you would. And if you would, place your hands out to receive the closing blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, even in moments where we are caught off guard, even in moments where we come to church and hear a word that kind of shakes us because it's different, it's new, it's not what we were expecting. Even in those moments, Lord, we rest in your peace. We thank you for your watch care over our lives. We trust ourselves fully to you, and we celebrate that no matter where we are, on this planet called Earth, we're under your lordship. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.